Tottenham playing the Champions League tonight. It's live on TalkSport 2. All the build-up from 5 o'clock. They play Olympiacos. Timely, really, that today a new book has emerged. Alex Finn and Martin Cloke have co-written One Step from Glory, the story of Tottenham Hotspur's Champions League campaign 18-19. Martin has popped in to see us. Good afternoon, Martin. Good to
see you. Yeah, nice to be back. Very important before we start, don't give away the ending.
No, okay, we don't want it ruined.
Isn't Alex an Arsenal fan? I thought he was an Arsenal fan.
No, I think he's Spurs, isn't he?
Alex is that generation who used to go to Arsenal one week and Spurs the next, and he's got an affinity for both clubs. So what we always say is
that's a bit of fence sitting. That is Alex, but. Yeah, the interesting, there will be, and we just addressed this off here, there will be people say, oh, typical Tottenham, you know, sort of bringing out a commemorative equivalent of a DVD for losing a final. But you kind of, you've addressed that, and tell us why you feel it is relevant that we should bring out a book of a season that ultimately we came up short.
I think it's about the journey. I mean, where the idea of the book came from, people might remember, this is going back in history a little bit, when Spurs won the double, 1961, there's a guy called Ralph L. Finn who wrote a book called Spurs Supreme, and it was a bit of a love letter to that fantastic side. Now, Ralph was Alex's uncle,
right,
and Alex wanted to do something like this. So after we'd got there, he gave me a call and he said, look, I think we could put something together for this, and pitched the idea to me, and we decided to work on it. And one of the things that we really wanted to do that, you know, that we addressed this as well, the famous Danny Blanchflower quote about winning and glory, and we say that people misinterpret that because both of those things are important. But I think a lot of the time in modern football, there is this massive obsession, quite rightly, because it's a sport, with winning. But, you know, the value of the journey is really underestimated, and the joy that people get out of the game as well. And we wanted to get across a little bit of that. And hopefully when people read it, it'll not only bring back memories, but it'll show that, you know, the journey is important. And we quote a line in the end from my friend Kat, who I co-chair the Supporters Trust with. And she said, right at the end of that run, she said, if I could have this all again, knowing what the outcome would be, I would do it again in a heartbeat. And I think there's a lot of fans who felt like that as well. It was an extraordinary season.
Yeah.
And not because it was all good either. I think, you know, the bad stuff and the times when there was kind of general chaos and bumbling and confusion, they all added to the sense of the moment. So it's the value of the journey, I think, we're trying to get across, and the joy that people can get out of sport.
I think as an outsider, I see this exactly. I mean, to get to the Champions League final, it was a culmination of this great manager that somehow Spurs were either lucked into, or Daniel Levy worked out that he was going to be good, but whatever way you want to look at it, this brilliant guy that's taken this club that was always perennially, for a long time, mid-table, below, you know, fifth, sixth, sort of thing, turned them into a real top four, a real team of quality. And obviously, I personally feel as an outsider, if the chairman backed him, Spurs could join the other top two. At the moment, they're kind of in a band on their own, I think, third, but they're not going to get anywhere near the top two with the amount of business that they're doing.
That's true, but then that was, again, the magic of last year, wasn't it? Is that, again, it's the curse of modern football, that there's, you know, what should happen. So if you look at the Premier League, most seasons, if you look at the wage bill and you add it up, and then you look at the final league table, the people who paid most wages are the people that finished top, and then it goes on like that. Mm. So the big thing last year, you know, Spurs weren't, it's a horrible phrase, I really hate it, Spurs weren't supposed to be in the final.
Mm.
Well, we were, because we won enough games to be in the final, and that was it. But, you know, that, and actually most of us didn't believe that we'd get there, you know, even when we got into the knockout stages and things started looking quite interesting. So again, that was part of the magic. But so yeah, we punched above our weight, if you want to look at it like that. But it was a bit of proof that, you know, sometimes things can go against, you know, the, you know, money equals success as well. And I mean, I'm not claiming that, you know, there'll be fans of Lincoln City and Barnsley and, you know, and Bury listening to this game, we'll see moaning about as well. So I'm not claiming that Spurs haven't got any money or they're a smaller club, but it is that, you know, in the pecking order, you're right. You know, Spurs weren't supposed to get to that level, and the fact that they did is something that we all really value.
Yeah, wonderful day. I mean, the chance to be in a final. I mean, the sad thing was, from a Spurs point of view, is that they didn't turn up, really. They didn't play
particularly well. In a way, that's neither
did Liverpool, and that was the other frustration.
Well, that's been the big problem, because obviously, you know, a number of Hollywood producers have been interested in filming the book as well, but the problem with it is at the ending, there's no kind of peak to the story arc as well, because the final was bloody awful.
The quote that Klopp made yesterday, Ark, after, I think, Ancelotti had said about, we're playing the best team in Europe, Europe. And he said, I'm not sure if we were the best team in Europe last season, but we were really good in the right moments, and that's why we won. And I think
that's the Champions League virtually every year.
That is. Yeah. That's in microcosm, the Champions League. That's what
Chelsea,
it's like, isn't
when
it?
When we won it.
Yeah, you weren't the best team that year, but you kind of had big moments in games, and you can probably pinpoint them now, where you got it done. I mean, the penalty miss and all those kind of little key moments that have to go to get you in a final and to ultimately win you a final.
Absolutely. Well, we had that during the run. I mean, you look at, you know, the Ajax game was a great example. For three quarters of that game, we were absolutely awful. But that meant that, you know, that last quarter when we were absolutely brilliant, you know, in comparison, we were even more brilliant because of the awfulness that had gone before. Mm. I mean, I was there. I was convinced at half time, that's it, we're out. Unusually, I'm sort of fairly, you know, once I get in the game, I'm fairly optimistic about it. But at that stage, I just thought, that's it. And then it was absolutely extraordinary. So, but it's right. And actually, you know, it's Liverpool's worst performance, I think, in the final as well. It was two sides that really underperformed. And that's the frustration, really. But, you know, they absolutely deserve to win it because they got the two goals and they turned up a lot more than we did.
You've written about the fan experience in the book. We've been chatting about this today. Mm. And the fact that on quite a few of these trips, you've actually got a kind of hardened Spurs European away fans here saying, you know, I'm beginning to wonder whether I want to do this anymore, especially Barcelona, which was a pretty terrible experience in the Nou Camp for a lot of the Spurs fans. And we're going to talk to Tony Evans about this later on. We've had Liverpool fans attacked last night in Napoli, the fans told to stay in the hotel until they went to the match. I mean, the fan experience in this country is so much better, I think, for Spanish and Italian fans.
Even when we played Frankfurt, they had a massive amount of fans.
Well, Dortmund, when we played Dortmund at Wembley, there was a great atmosphere. We were chatting in the pub to them before. It was a really nice atmosphere. Yeah. I mean, I think in Germany it's slightly different, but certainly in Spain and Italy, the fan experience is pretty toxic a lot of the time, isn't it?
Spain and Italy are not pleasant. I don't think Belgrade is going to be that pleasant either, if we look at it that way. But yeah, I mean, that's a theme. We did think about, do we include that? Because it's not a particularly big P political book, if you want to look at that. And it's a feel-good book. But I think that, you know, the fans are so much part of the experience. And we wanted to get, as well as the newspaper reports and the story from a kind of like a detached analysis point of view, we wanted to get a little bit of fan experience in there. Hmm. And, you know, it's something that we've talked about, you know, when I before with a different hat on as well. But it is generally pretty bloody awful experience following your team in Europe. Especially when you think about the money and the effort that's involved in there as well. Mm. And I have a lot of conversations with people who make exactly your point. They say that, you know, that we're mugs in this country because we make it too easy for the other fans when they come over. Well, I'm proud of that.
Yeah,
we shouldn't be a race to the bottom.
That's a good
thing. We should
be,
you know, it's our example. And I'm not saying we get everything right, but it's our example that should push other people on. But I mean, Barcelona was particularly bad. Mm. It was pretty much, you know, it seemed like an organised attack by the steward and stuff. On the fans. And, you know, there are videos of this as well, people being really badly beaten. And I said, we got one fellow who was signed off work for a year. He was injured so badly, being beaten by the stewards over there as well.
But you have to blame UEFA.
And there genuinely wasn't any bad behaviour by Spurs fans at that as well. You know, and we all know that it happens from time to time, but... So, but you know, it's a story that fans of other clubs will repeat as well. And I'm glad, you know, I'm glad Tony's on. I know Tony quite well. I know Tony's seen quite a bit of it going through Europe over the years as well. So at some stage, it's got to be confronted this as well. Because there's this glossy image, I think after the final, fairly chaotic outside, and UEFA put a tweet out saying, a perfect final, we shall be returning here. That's perfect. I'd like to see what a bad day is at the office.
Yeah, the final, you're right.
Picked up and taken to to and from the ground, you don't
when your chauffeur driven to the front door and waved through, as we all did, walked 25 minutes in the searing heat with no signpost and just trying to guess where the stadium was from that station.
Well, I mean, heard that some of the suits managed to kind of get, slightly headed off, and they didn't quite get delivered as well. So maybe because it's happening at that level, there might be something done about it now as well.
We worried that the fact we had two kind of Premier League clubs in the final was going to make the atmosphere difficult, but it was brilliant, wasn't it? It was a real party, I think, the Liverpool and Spurs.
It was absolutely fantastic. I mean, they estimated there were over 100,000 fans in Madrid at that stage, and you know, predictably, the Spanish papers, a couple of them had run the kind of, you know, English hooligans headlines as well, and you know, there was less trouble than I've seen a lot of other games as well. I think it's partly because it is a party atmosphere, and it was quite weird as well because. I think I remember having a really odd moment just in that first 20 seconds before it all went wrong. And I thought, you know, I'm watching us play Liverpool, but I'm in Madrid. I'm in this strange stadium, and it's like, it doesn't seem quite right, really, what's going on.
I do still think that there was a real opportunity to make a statement in this window. Maybe Dybala would have been that signing, that game changer, the guy that potentially stops you being third and gets you into the top two. And I think... I do slightly worry that the chairman will back the manager only so far, and that's ultimately why we may lose the manager at some stage.
You never know, do you? You never know what the true story is, and you never can. There's a lot of spin goes on it as well. But I think the difference this time, I mean, if you believe, you know, you believe what was put out there officially, but you also make an educated guess.
Yeah.
It looks like Pochettino got the four players that he wanted, his top four targets. Dybala looked like it was something that came up at the last minute. And from what I can understand, they really made an effort to go for that as well. So I think, you know, that it's not been backed in the transfer market thing. It's probably not, you know, as relevant this year as it has been in the past. Mm. But, you know, there'll be somebody out there who goes, oh, you know, I've got a mate who used to walk someone's dog, who said they knew the agent, who said that we were going to sign or we could have done whatever. You never really know.
No.
I think we had a good transfer window this summer. I think we signed some very, very good players.
There's been injuries, and we got another injury, Lo Celso and stuff. So, but what about this year finally? Because we're nearly out of time. What about this year? What are your expectations then as we play Olympiacos tonight?
Well, obviously, we're going to sort of get through it all, just breathe through, win all the games, get to the final, turn up, and then we'll do what Liverpool did the year before, which is losing the final one year and winning it the next year.
Well, that's definitely
if that doesn't happen, I'm going to want answers.
That's a follow up. That is definitely a follow up. One Step from Glory, the story of Tottenham Hotspur's Champions League campaign by Alex Finn and Martin Cloak is available now, published by Pitch. Is out today in paperback.
Out today. You can get it from Waterstones. You can order it online from Amazon or do it from the publisher. So.
Fantastic. Thank you, Martin.
Thank you.
Live tonight then, Spurs versus, Olympiacos versus Spurs. I think the under-18s are playing at the moment, 1-1. We've had a very chunky back pass by the Spurs defence that have made it 1-1. So that's not an omen.